Thank you for that fantastic song leading, brother. Hope you can visit more often. And I know it's been a couple weeks ago, but I'm inspired by our young men who are here this morning and others who may not be here. If you were here when they led the service, it was inspirational to me. And, you know, I thought about as they led on the Lord's table, and I was kind of embarrassed in a way because they just, if you were here, they just showed so much poise. And whether they were leading a prayer or on the Lord's table, and, you know, I've had occasion to stand up in front of people and speak and wait on the Lord's table. And I hope it doesn't show, but to be honest, when I'm on the Lord's table, my hands are kind of shaking, and I'm like, I hope I don't spill these. it's difficult to have people, you know, so many people looking back at you while you're doing what you're doing. And so I want to commend you all again. It's an inspiration to the whole congregation and to me personally. So hopefully I'm not quite as nervous. I'm trying to be like them, follow their example. Have things prepared. They had things prepared ahead of time. And thanks, Tyler, for working with them and helping them to mature. And that's just a blessing. This morning's sermon ties in with Thanksgiving. If you want to be turning in your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, that'll be the basis for our sermon and our message this morning. The text reads, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The New American Standard says in the latter part of the verse, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. For the most part, Thanksgivings usually go, you know, pretty smooth when I talk to people. And back home in Pennsylvania, we had a unique Thanksgiving day. There was a run for the Diamonds, and it was the Berwick Marathon. It was actually about 9 miles, not a true marathon. But the awards, you know, given out were diamonds. So it, for our little tiny town, it drew some pretty, you know, big-name runners and that kind of thing. When I got in the ninth grade, I wanted to follow my cousin's footsteps and run cross-country and track. So I would started running the race in ninth grade. And the race would go right past my grandmother's house. So, you know, as a young person, I wanted to, the relatives are watching as we run by the house. I want to kind of show off. And it wasn't much of a show, I got to say. And if they were willing to stay out there long enough to watch till I finally show up, because that's where the steepest hill in the race was. It was just a grind. But that made, you know, Thanksgiving Day special and unique. And then we would go out and have Thanksgiving dinner or lunch or supper. We would call it, you know, East Coast thing, out at grandmother's house. And everyone would show up, even my uncles, some of my crazy uncles, you know. You have any crazy uncles? And my cousins, some of which, you know, we hardly ever see. If they were out of prison, they'd come by. And it was like always good on Thanksgiving Day. No questions asked. You get turkey and food. We enjoy the fellowship and family. And I hope that's the way it is at your place. And then take some time to give thanks and make that time to give thanks. And I know that happens around so many Thanksgiving dinner tables. And perhaps for you this Thanksgiving. And people are thankful for so many different things, perhaps a job or just being with family. Thankful just to have food and clothing and shelter and all those positive things, as we should be. And I thank God for those things on Thanksgiving as well. I find it more difficult, however, to thank God for what I consider negative things. I don't really see those as blessings. A lot of times, this message is meant for me to grow too. I don't see those things as blessings. I mean, trials, hardships, suffering, undesirable circumstances, I'll call them, that I find myself in, either by my own doing or by others' doing, or one of those situations where I don't know how I got here, right? But this is certainly not anything to give thanks for. And yet, as we read 1 Thessalonians 5, and as we go through the lesson today, we're going to find that we're called and challenged and actually commanded to give thanks in all circumstances, in what we consider good circumstances and good positive blessings, if you will, but also thanks for the trials, the hardships, the suffering in life. So I'll be challenged today, as I hope you are, to follow our Lord, our Savior, and the teachings of the New Testament. We're going to start out in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And we know that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he was just a great blessing to so many. And whether they appreciated what Jesus was about to do for them or had done for them or not, Jesus would just go along blessing people. He was healing the sick, giving the blind their sight, causing the deaf to hear, those who were leprous and had different physical ailments, he just healed them. As a matter of fact, John tells us that Jesus did so many miracles and so many things, there's not enough really paper or books or ink to write down and record all that Jesus had done during his earthly ministry. And that's mind-boggling. So here we find Jesus doing that very thing, blessing people and healing 10 lepers. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. In verse 16, he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, that is to Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." So all 10 had something in common. They called and cried out to the Master, to Jesus himself, to be healed of their leprosy. They called and cried out, the text tells us, for mercy. They all shared another thing in common. They were all healed of their leprosy as they went along their way, and they obeyed Jesus Christ. But then we find there's a difference between the 1 and the 9. Only one, it appears, it dawned on him what had happened and this great blessing that he had received, this cleansing from Jesus. And as we just read, he turned back and took time to thank Jesus. Matter of fact, we find him falling at Jesus' feet out of appreciation for what Jesus had done for him. After all, he recognized and appreciated, it appears more than the others, that only Jesus could provide this healing of this leprosy. And notice, Jesus ties together or connects this giving of thanks and this expression of appreciation to giving glory to God. Because in verse 18, we read that, "Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So this foreigner, this Samaritan, as he expressed his appreciation and his thanksgiving for what Christ had done, he was glorifying God in the process, wasn't he? And so it's true for us. When we make time and we take time to give thanks to God, to give thanks to Jesus Christ for what he's done for us, we're bringing glory and honor to God, aren't we? And I have to say, that's a little different than what takes place around some Thanksgiving tables. Because unfortunately, not all have faith, the Bible tells us. And really, it's good to give thanks. It's good to be a person who appreciates things. But as Christians, we're giving thanks to God, aren't we? We're not just throwing out a general thanksgiving and I appreciate these things I have in life. We're recognizing God as the source of these blessings, aren't we? And that's what this man who was healed did. He came back to the source, didn't he? He came back to Jesus, praising him, falling at his feet, giving glory to God as he gave thanks to Jesus. And then it appears he received a special, unique blessing, didn't he, for coming back. Jesus said to him in verse 19, "Stand up and go, for your faith has made you well." Isn't that interesting? All 9 or all 10 were healed, But as he came back and thanked Jesus, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And that implies there was an additional spiritual blessing, wasn't there? He was not only healed from his physical outward leprosy, but now he receives this healing or spiritual blessing, if you will, on the inside in expressing his appreciation. He was made well, Jesus said. Well, Christians have been cleansed, if you will, of spiritual leprosy, haven't we? Spiritual leprosy being sin. We've been cleansed of our sins as we name Christ as Lord. We repent of our sins. We're baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. And we go away rejoicing, whether that's here at the baptistry, at the church building, or rivers, or lakes, or I've seen the Gulf of Mexico, wherever it may be. We go away rejoicing because our sins have been forgiven. We've been cleansed on the inside, haven't we? And only Jesus can provide that kind of cleansing of sin, forgiveness and freedom of sin. Titus chapter 3, and starting in verse 3, we read, for we, Christians, as Paul writes to Titus, his son in the faith, for we Christians also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived. And you know, as I read that scripture, it reminds me of Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what Paul's reminding Timothy. We also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and of the flesh and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, in hating one another. And he kind of gives a summary of the sinful life, doesn't he? We've all sinned to whatever extent that may be. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been foolish at one time in our lives. And I've been foolish at times after becoming a Christian. I confess to you this morning. And that's probably true to some extent for all of us. If nothing else, as we grow and mature and try to understand God's will for our lives and apply it to our lives, it takes time. Thank God he's patient as we strive to grow and mature spiritually in Christ. But then in verse 4, we find that word, but. And thank God that that word is there, right? Because he's saying, but God. But when the kindness of God, our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, referring to Jesus, he, Jesus, saved us not on the basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And as you read through the text, again, we were all once foolish, but he's saying, but now that God has taken action in your life, now that you've allowed Jesus Christ to start working in your life, now that you've named Christ as your Lord, Christian, and you've repented of your sins, and you've been baptized in Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. Now he's saying things are different. He talks about this washing, this cleansing of regeneration that takes place in the watery grave of baptism he's referring to. And that continual cleansing will go on as long as we walk in the light as he is in the light. But he mentions in verse 5, according to his mercy. In verse 7, being justified by his grace. And then he refers to this hope that we have now as a Christian. Without God's mercy, without his grace, without his great patience, which he intends to lead us toward repentance, there would be no hope for us, would there? But now, of course, in Christ, now that we're a Christian, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because God took action on our behalf to send his son to this world to take that punishment that we deserve ourselves, we have that hope. Romans 3 and verse 23, I already read, but thank God Paul doesn't stop there. He does say in verse 23, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But then he goes on to say, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And that redemption, that grace, that forgiveness, that hope of spending eternity with God, it's only found in Christ, isn't it? Those spiritual blessings are only found in Christ. As a Christian, we enjoy the blessing of an ongoing cleansing. Not just that initial cleansing as we become a Christian. We go away rejoicing, as I mentioned. And then we go out into this rough and tumble world, if you will. And we strive to continue to follow Christ and be His disciple. And that's not easy, is it? You don't know until you try. Until you actually try to be a disciple of Christ, not only learn His teachings, but put them into practice in your life, you discover, wow, this is, now I see why Jesus refers to this as the narrow road, right? It's tougher than the wide road and just going with the flow of this world, if you will. So in 1 John, we find that this ongoing, continual cleansing is available to us as Christians. Even the healing that those lepers received was just a physical healing for this lifetime, right? And that is something to be thankful for. The leper who came back was commended and received a further blessing. But the spiritual blessings from God, they last on into eternity. They're a blessing to us for the short time we're here, but then as we go on to spend eternity with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 6, he says, if we, Christians, say that we have fellowship with Him, God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So as Christians, we're striving to walk in the light as He is in the light. We're striving to allow His word to enlighten us, if you will, taking it into our hearts and our minds, and then putting it into practice in this life. That's basically sums up living and walking in the light, as opposed to living or walking in darkness. We don't want to continue to live in sin. As Christians, we will still continue to struggle with temptation and sin, and even give in at times. Right? Even as we're striving not to. But we remember back that the whole reason we came to Christ in the first place was not only to be forgiven of sin, but to be freed from sin, right? And to stay free from sin and go on to become the person that God always intended us to be. So he says, if, in verse 7, we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's referring to fellowship with one another, with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We also then have fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, my natural tendency, when I sin or if I were to do something wrong, and I, you know, this comes from childhood, I hope somebody can relate, my tendency is to cover it up, to hide it, find a scapegoat and blame it on them, right? The last thing I'm going to do is confess it and just get it out in the open. It's not my natural tendency. That needs to change now that I'm a Christian, right? John's writing. Now the best thing for myself, if I find myself giving into temptation, entangled once again in sin, is to go against what my nature and my character would normally tell me to do, and now as a Christian, to confess it, get it out in the light, allow God to deal with it, get some prayers and encouragement from other Christians, so I don't have to go back to being entangled in sin once again. Right? Excuse me. So as a Christian, we're a new creation. And we're learning new ways to deal with sin. We're also learning about this blessing of an ongoing cleansing from God when we handle life and the problems and the temptations and even the sin that we may find ourselves in accordance with God's will and His way to deal with it. We give thanks to God in prayer, the Bible teaches us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and starting in verse 16. Paul writes to the Thessalonian Christians, rejoice always. That's a whole other sermon. To try to rejoice always in life, in spite of circumstances. Pray without ceasing. You know, the more we pray on an ongoing basis, it's good to pray at church and pray collectively, but the more we pray and make time for that quiet time, if you want to call it that, on a daily basis with God, or even as we go through our day, you can offer up a silent prayer to God. He knows what's on your heart and your mind. He'll get the message, right? And unlike our phones, we're never out of range. I tried to send a text to Johnny on Wednesday with my sermon title from out there on the coast at Saw Point, and it didn't make it through. Then I saw Saturday, not delivered. I got to hit send again. She said she got it Saturday, but that's why the sermon title's not in your bulletin. We don't have that problem with God, right? Wherever we are, at school, at work, at home, whatever the circumstances, we can pray without ceasing. Thank God we have that privilege. But then he goes on to say, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, going back to our base text. And again, notice, this is a command. This is something that's expected of us as Christians. When we obey this command, as well as any other command, even when we don't feel like it, right? Even when it doesn't seem like it will work, even sometimes there may be some doubting involved, God hears our prayer and it works. When we obey, regardless of our feelings, we're blessed, aren't we? So regardless of my work circumstances, extended family circumstances, like Grandma's house, ooh, we had some characters welcome. I think that's their motto on that AMC channel. Characters welcome. That's the way it was at Grandma's house. Characters welcome. So whether it's at work, family, or extended family circumstances, a classmate, health circumstances, a neighbor that gives us trouble, whether our faith is accepted or rejected by those around us, we're going to go ahead and obey and give thanks in all circumstances. And when we do our thing, when we trust and obey, God always does his part, doesn't he? He always makes good on his promise. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In other words, in all things, good and bad, in all circumstances. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So even as I'm praying to God, laying before him my requests, my supplications, I'm doing so with a heart and a mind of thanksgiving and appreciation for what he's already done for me. And then we read in verse 7, the great promise and the blessing for us. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Another translation says, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. So far beyond what I could ever comprehend or imagine, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a great blessing, isn't it? That only God can give. His peace, first of all. But then we get this picture of God's peace standing as a guard over my heart and my mind. Has anyone been hurt? I don't even have to ask for a show of hands. You'd live any length of time in this world, because this is a fallen world, you've been hurt in some way, physically, spiritually, or whatever it may be. Because, again, the rough and tumble world that we live in, the fallen world that we live in, it's a blessing and it's encouraging to know that this peace of God is available. It will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Singing with thanksgiving in our hearts. Again, brother, thanks for the good singing this morning. And we're thankful we have such great song leaders here in the church. And what makes singing so great in a congregation is every individual singing together from their heart, right? And it's really God's chorus as Christians sing out to God from their heart. And of course, first and foremost, we're singing to God. And we're singing with thanksgiving in our hearts. But then the scripture also tells us that we're singing to one another. And you've experienced that this morning. We're singing to God. We're singing to one another. And in the process, we're encouraging one another, aren't we? And we're spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, if you will. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, we read, "Do not get drunk on wine." And I like how the Bible does this. So many times it'll tell us what not to do. Don't do this, right? Bad, negative, destructive thing, whatever it may be. In this case, getting drunk on wine or beer, whatever it may be. Your mind-altering experience or substance. Don't get drunk on wine, for it is a dissipation, but rather be filled with the Spirit. There's only one way to be filled with the Spirit, right? Is to fill ourselves with God's Word and His will, right? Why do people drink and get drunk and get crazy? Because they consider it fun, right? If it weren't good, if there weren't something good about it, it wouldn't be tempting to do, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or whatever the destructive action is. You wouldn't do it if it wasn't tempting in some way. Well, thank God as a Christian, we can put behind us drunkenness in this case, and now we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a blessing that only comes from God. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Making melody with your heart. We're plucking the heartstrings. But then he says in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things, good and bad, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So even in our singing, we're to be giving thanks to God. And if you were to talk to Christians who have been a Christian really any length of time, even if it's only been a week or so, I know people come to church, people come to worship with heavy burdens on their heart, don't we? I know I have so many times. And then I'm tempted to stay home because the burden feels so heavy. I think I'd be better off just staying home and staying in bed. And I don't want to face the other Christian, or maybe it's temptation and sin. And I don't want to face God. I don't want to face the other Christians there. So in my wisdom, my great wisdom, rather than God's wisdom, I'm better off just to stay home. And I convince myself, right? And that's a lie, isn't it? It's not true. God knows we need to come together to encourage one another, to sing with thanksgiving and appreciation in our hearts. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. We read, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Again, I confess, I have the majority of the time, I don't know what the percentage would be, I do not take joy in my trials. I kind of dread my trials, to tell you the truth. How about you? I'm going to try to do better. Even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to try to take joy and be thankful, even in the midst of trials. And he says, various trials. My side margin says temptations. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. It produces endurance. And I believe that's what motivates us or helps us to give thanks for the trials. Right? Because something good is going to come from it in the end. I can see some kind of light at the end of the tunnel. That eventually I'll build perseverance or endurance. It's also translated steadfastness. And let endurance have its perfect result or work so that you may be perfect or mature. It's actually translated mature because none of us will ever be perfect, right? Even though we have that song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way," we laugh at it because we know we can't be perfect, right? Until we go on to be with the Lord. But we can become more mature. That you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So God does have a purpose in these trials, in these hardships, even in these sufferings. If we'll pray to Him and if we'll just open our spiritual eyes and see the blessing that He has for us. The final scripture in the lesson is yours. We're going to turn to Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15. Again, we find this idea of singing, the blessing of singing, and singing to God with thanksgiving. First, in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know the times when my life has been most turbulent, and that's even as of late, gone through some turbulent things in life, circumstances. It's mainly because I'm not allowing the peace of Christ to rule in my heart. And tell you the truth, at times I don't want to admit that I can, regardless of how terrible or extreme the circumstances or around me may be, or what other people around me may be doing, I can still decide to allow the peace of Christ to rule in my heart. And you know, that's powerful. Because then all the people around me, the co-workers, maybe the teacher you don't like for young people, or the neighbor, or whatever it may be, no longer has power and control over my feelings and my actions, because now I've submitted myself back to Christ and His reign. In His rule. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, that's a command. Be thankful. When we obey this command, we'll be at much more peace spiritually. Let the Lord, word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we've done here today, but singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, when we force ourselves to, so many times I know we don't feel like we have anything to be thankful for because I'm focused on that negative thing or that problem person, right? But in reality, when I force myself to obey and count my blessings, I have a lot to be thankful for, right? And then life becomes a little more balanced, doesn't it? Yes, I have this problem, I have this trial, or this suffering I'm going through, but I also have all these other things to be thankful for and put the spiritual blessings on that list as well, right? And then he goes on to say in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So whatever we do in this life, whether you're a student, you're still a working person, you're retired, at home with the kid, whatever it may be, we can offer everything we do up to the Lord, can't we? And when we do it the best we can, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to please Him. He will bless those efforts. The lesson is yours today. I hope you did enjoy a Thanksgiving. Even with the rough and tumble family that, you know, tends to show up at Thanksgiving. And I hope you've gotten something from this lesson and this from God's word today. Perhaps today is a day for you. If you have yet to name Christ as your Lord, make a decision to make that pledge of a good conscience toward God, as Peter calls it. And he's really referring to repentance. In repentance, I'm making the decision to turn away from sin, living the way I see fit according to my pride and the way I see things. I'm repenting, I'm changing and turning my mind, and now making that pledge of a good conscience toward God to live in accordance to His will. And God is patient with us, but I'm making that decision, making that pledge, if you will, that commitment, right? And then we're baptized into Christ. You can be raised to walk in newness of life, knowing all your sins are forgiven. And then when you leave this place, you have that additional blessing we looked at from 1 John, an ongoing cleansing, so that when or if you do stumble or you do fall back and find yourself entangled in sin, there's a way out again, isn't there? When we don't live in denial, but rather follow His word and His way, get it out in the light, confess it, let God free you from it with His help, with that continual cleansing from the blood of Christ, and with the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever your need is, if you have need to respond this morning, we invite you to come and let your need be made known.